Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you hear us when we call, when we ask. You listen and you answer our call. And Father, right now we just pray that as we study your word this morning, that it would challenge our hearts, that it would change us and mold us into your image, and that we would not leave this place the same way as we came in, but we'd be changed and transformed by your word and by your Holy Spirit. We just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not really trying to do my Johnny Cash impression. I have a funeral to go to after this. Sherry and I are leaving from here. We're gonna and heading out to a friend of mine. His father passed away a couple weeks ago, and so they're doing a little memorial service at his house. And so he asked me if I would go and share a couple thoughts and stuff, and be there. So, this guy's been a friend of mine for, oh gosh, probably close to 25 years or something. Well, it's got to be close to that. So we've been married 24, so about 23 years. Been a good friend, our lives have intersected several times over those 23 years. I've worked for him several times. It's kind of an honor to be able to share something, with his family and stuff and friends, about his dad's passing. And so I've learned some things. I work with him now again. So I've learned some things about his dad that I didn't know. His dad, was a Sunday school teacher, and for many years growing up, he grew up in the church and was very active in the church and stuff. So it's kind of interesting, you know, talking to my friend who is not really all that, I'm going to use the word religious. He's not really, you know, doesn't have much of a relationship with the Lord, very much, but it's interesting. He's a good man, but he just needs to know Jesus. You know, how many of you know good people that just have not found, that right relationship with the Lord, but they're good people. That'll be a great time, good time to minister to the family and stuff. And I've had some great opportunities to really share, over the last couple of weeks, just who Jesus is to him specifically, because his dad knew who Jesus was. So I've really made kind of the effort to say, well, your dad had a peace about him because he knew where he was going. And the reason he knew where he was going, you know, and I kind of went into some details of just that he had accepted Christ as his Savior and knew who he was. And that's really what it comes down to. And he was really eager to know that and gather that information. You know, sometimes we miss incredible opportunities, not to be condemning, but to share the grace of God into people's lives and explain, you know, the different sides of things, not trying to pressure them in any way, necessarily. Although, I mean, to get people into heaven is the most important thing, isn't it? I think I'm going to say something here, and I'm not sure how it's going to come across, but I think getting people into heaven is more important than loving them. Now, I think love is crucial and very important, that we need to love one another. Thank you for that little banner over there. We need to love one another. We do. We need to love one another, don't we? But if you're loving someone and not sharing how to make heaven your home, are you really loving someone? I mean, I think love explains salvation. Love explains the grace of God. Love explains those things. So anyways, doesn't have anything to do with my message this morning. My message this morning is take your medicine. God's prescription for our health is found in his word. And don't eat that donut. No, I'm just kidding. You know, the word of God is like a medicine to our bodies. And we need to learn how to take God's medicine so that we can, so it can do its healing work in every area of our lives. And sometimes I think what we do is we see the Word of God, we understand the Word of God, but we don't take the Word of God into us and think of it as a medicine that heals our every need, that heals our very body. I often say that if you can't pray it out, that you should crowd it out with the Word of God. If you're having trouble praying for an area of your life and seeing deliverance, well, find the scripture, find a lot of scripture, and then cram it into your life until that thing disappears, until all you're thinking about is the Word of God in that area, and you can overcome. Most people have had to get a prescription filled at the pharmacist at one time or another. We've all had to go to the doctor, I'm sure, or most of us have, to get a prescription filled. And there's always instructions on the bottle of the medicine that tell us how to take it and how to use it. Okay. Now the bottle may say that you need to take one tablet every 6 hours or one pill every 3 days or you have to take a pill in the morning and a pill with food at night. You know, it may just tell you that. If we don't follow the instructions, we can get in trouble. We can take too much or not enough of the medicine. We can take it too often or not often enough. With medicine, we must take it according to the doctor's prescription. It will only be effective if we take it properly. I was talking to someone this last week, and they were telling me about their daughter, and their daughter, all her life has suffered with Crohn's disease. Since she was about 4, has suffered with Crohn's disease. To the point where she's been near death many times with this disease. It's a terrible, terrible disease. This girl is now in her 20s. But one of the hardest things is that the new medications that they're coming out with are doing remarkable things with this disease. And there's a couple of them that she's been on. And the doctor says, now listen, once your body builds an immunity to this medicine, it's no good for you anymore and it won't have any effect on this Crohn's disease. So you have to take it properly and with the right kind of other medications that accelerate it, make it better. And so, and this has all happened in the last couple of years where she's tried a couple of the new medicines and she'll get on them and they'll do really well in the beginning, but then she'll forget to take this pill with that and this with that and, you know, and the combinations of food that she's supposed to, and she starts not following completely the directions of the doctor, and pretty soon she'll cycle back into where she's suffering again. And then they'll put her on a new medication and they give her the same instructions and then she doesn't follow those instructions very well. She kind of struggles through getting through those. And now, one of the things that he said to me was, what's interesting is that she'll come in and she'll be sick and the doctor will put her on a prescription to see if it works. And then they wait, you know, a couple weeks to see if it works. But if it doesn't take effect and start working, then it takes a couple of weeks for that medication to get out of her system so they can try something else. So she is gradually cycling down every time, worse and worse and worse. She would have been probably a little better off, but how do you get an 18 to 22 year old to do what they're supposed to? You know what I mean? It's kind of like you often see the stories of the, on the news and stuff and on TV programs of the schizophrenic who takes his medicine is perfectly normal. But then after a while, he just figures, well, I'm normal, so why do I need to take my medicine? So they go off their medicine and then they cycle back into their schizophrenia and then they have to put them back on the medication and then all of a sudden they get back to being a little bit more normal. And so, So there, even in the physical world, there is medicine that can help you function better if you take it properly. But once you get off of taking it properly, you just cycle back into where you were and what you were doing. And the same thing is true with the Word of God. We need to do the same thing with the prescription that God has given, that has written for us. And it's pretty simple. It's found in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. And it says this, "My son, give attention to my word. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, and keep them in the midst of your heart." In these verses, we find four steps to taking God's medicine, to taking the medicine of God's word. We have to, if we'll follow these three steps or four steps, we will be taking God's medication properly. The first is attention, or give attention to God's word. The word attention means to give one's undivided attention. The proverb here in verse 20 could be better understood if we read it this way. Give your undivided attention to God's word. Now, when someone says, "Hey, I want your undivided attention. Hello, everyone." We understand that what we want is that person wants me to pay attention to nothing else, to focus in on what's being said to me right now. To take all the other distractions, all the other things, the grocery list I'm thinking about right now, I don't want to think about that, all the chores I have to do today. One of the things that's interesting is that here's a thought. Are we rushing through our daily reading of the Bible with background noise? The TV's on, the music's playing, there's background noise, the kids are running around, there's noise everywhere. Or are we shutting ourselves away in a place that is quiet enough that we can read the Word of God and give our attention fully to it? See, I think oftentimes we read in a rush. Oh, I gotta get in my reading. Gotta get her done. And so we hurry to get to it. And then we hurry to get to our reading. And what comes of it is that we're distracted by all these things and we don't get the fullness out of what God wants. Give attention, an undivided attention to what we're talking about or what we're reading. We're supposed to focus directly on what is being said to us by God. That is what God wants us to do. He wants us to shut out everything around us without any interruptions and give our undivided attention to the Word of God. You know, I think it's true that I'll talk about it a little bit more in a minute, but we tend to be more focused when we have a need. When we're trying to find something, we're more focused. But I believe that if we will stay focused on what the Word of God says on a regular basis, I believe the Word of God teaches us that we'll be much more successful in our lives. Number two, incline your ear to God's Word. Incline simply means listen. Proverbs 20 could be read like this. Listen with your ears what I am saying. Two ears, one mouth. Shh. Listen. God is telling us to open our ears to the Word. He is speaking to us. Remember when the Lord spoke to Samuel, Samuel did not recognize his voice. Samuel thought the prophet Elijah or Eli was calling him. So finally, Eli said to the young boy in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, he says, "Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Lord, speak, Lord, your servant hears. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Each of us must find our spirit to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. We must learn to hear the voice of God. And again, we must get away and put our attention on the Word of God and quiet ourselves to hear from Him. Too often I think we may speak up too much. We may have our list of prayer requests rather than hearing what God might say to us. Now, some of you may say, well, how do I know whether it's God, whether it's me, whether it's the devil? How do I know when I think I hear something from the Lord, how do I know? And this is what I like to suggest to people to do, is to get a journal and write those things down. Just if you think God's speaking to you, write it down. Just write it down. Don't worry about whether it's true or not true, whether you don't, because you'll be able to prove it later. And this is how you'll prove it later. Go back a week or two later and read through what you wrote. And this is what you'll find. You'll find that was me, that was the devil, that was God right there. That was a God thing right there. And then you'll begin to focus and understand and recognize and start to recognize what God's telling you and what you're trying to tell yourself and what the enemy might be trying and what the pressures of life are trying to tell you. You'll begin to recognize what God is saying. You'll begin to see, oh, wow, you know what? That was a God thing right there. Because in the last 2 weeks, that has proven out. That has been what God has showed me. God has continued to show me this statement right here. This is what God's trying to tell me. He's trying to tell me this. And you'll begin to hear those things. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And in Proverbs 20, verse 27, we read, the spirit of a man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner parts of his heart, inner depths of his heart. When we get in tune with hearing what God says, we will be able to hear God's voice. We must set aside time to wait in His presence and allow Him to talk to us. It's when we are quiet before the Lord that we can hear from Him most clearly. When we open our ears to God's Word, we are closing them to everything we hear that is contrary to the Word. So many times we're listening to what God says, but we're also listening to what others say. And we begin to listen to this person and this preacher and that preacher. And I think you need to listen to preachers every once in a while. But not when it's contrary to Word. To the Word, because what really matters is what God says. You need to know what God's Word says. I don't know if I should admit this, but I get frustrated. One of my greatest frustrations is when we as ministers don't study the Word of God and know what it says. And then we get up and we just start spouting philosophies that are not true, that are not scriptural, because they work at the present day. Oh, it frustrates me. And when we take a scripture and we take it out of context, I don't like that either. I try never to take scripture out of context. Whenever I'm using scripture, I try to look at it in the context in which it's been used in the scripture, and I try not to use it outside of that context or where I can't at least figure out how it works within the context. But if it is blatantly out of context, I don't want to use it. Because it doesn't explain the idea of what I'm trying to share. Because there's enough examples in the Bible to answer all the questions I need to answer. I don't need to make one fit. Does that make sense? And I don't like it when people do that. But you know what? The only way to know and to recognize those things is if you know the Word of God. If you're studying the Word of God, if you're spending time in the Word of God and reading it and knowing it and walking by faith according to the Word of God that He has revealed to you. That's the only way you're going to know whether someone is giving you a line of hooey or not. You like the word hooey there, huh, Bob? Our victory lies in opening our ears to the Word of God and turning off everything else. That way our undivided attention is on what God has said. When we close our ears to the outside things and we keep our ears open to God's Word, we are closing out fear, doubt, and unbelief. When we turn our attentions towards the things of God, you know, as I was getting ready for this, I just kept thinking about the story of the spies, the 10 spies that went into the promised land. And they went out to spy the land, and they brought back and they said, hey, you guys, and basically they paraphrased, all 10 of them agreed that, hey, this promised land that God has provided for us that's over the other side of this river is unbelievably awesome. I mean, look at the size of these grapes, you know? I mean, it took 2 men to carry a cluster of grapes back. I mean, they were totally impressed with this. However, fear and unbelief had gripped them. And so all but Caleb and Joshua gave an evil report. They all said, listen, the land is plentiful, the land is great, but my goodness, they got some people that are so big, so tall, there are giants in the land, and we are like grasshoppers to them. There is no possibility that we're going to be able to take them in a fight. They're going to beat us. And Joshua and Caleb are like, no, you guys, stop saying this. It's not true. If God is with us, who could be against us? Let's head over there and take the good stuff. And you know what's interesting is as you study that out, you know, God gets very upset, and everyone like over the age of 21 dies in the wilderness. And so this whole new generation of people go, except Joshua and Caleb. They live. And Joshua is the one that leads them into the promised land. And you know what Joshua says as they're about to go in? Joshua says, I want to go where the biggest, baddest, craziest people are because I'm going to overtake their land. That's what he says. He says, the rest of you guys can go fight the normal people. I'm going to fight the giants. Because Joshua understood the power of God. Joshua understood. He had given attention to the Word of God. He had opened his ears to hear what God was saying and not what the evil report was saying. His report wasn't on what he had seen, but his report was on what he knew God was. And he was going to believe the proper report. Which brings it into number 3. It says, do not let the word depart from your eyes. In other words, we must focus on what God's Word says about our situation and not what the circumstances or a negative report that comes forward. We must believe the report of God's Word, which says we are healed and whole. I mean, I know that some of you have gotten reports that are not good. The doctor walks in and goes, well, I got some bad news for you. It doesn't look good. And so when you walk out to your car, and I know this is not easy, but as you're walking to your car, you have to let these words echo in your heart, in your mind, and in your body. And that is, whose report are you going to believe? It is, now listen, you may say, well, but the doctor said, well, okay. But the doctor is not the great physician. And I thank God for doctors. You should go see the doctor for nothing else so that you know what to pray about. I mean, if the doctor has a way to help you, let the doctor help you and let God help you. Amen? But if you get there and the doctor says, listen, I got nothing for you. You know someone who has something for you. And now you know what the problem is. So you go to God and you say, God, your word says this. The doctor said this. My body is saying this, but your word says this. And I'm going to receive that into my life right now. And I'm going to take that healing into my life right now. And I'm going to walk by faith in that healing. And we begin to walk that way. We take the report of God. If we've been attacked with sickness, we can look at our bodies and see this illness is present. But we should not respond to that. Instead, we need to look at the word of God, which says you are healed and made whole, and respond to what the word says. Continue to fight the fight of faith, believing that God will, listen, if God is done with you, God is done with you. But if God ain't done with you, this world ain't done with you. God needs you to keep fighting the fight of faith, to keep standing on his word, to keep saying, I will not give in to the report, the evil report. I will push forward. A lot of people go to God and respond to his word when they are experiencing bad times. When things are good, then they don't give God's word the same attention. Then when they find themselves in bad times again, they falter. We need to respond to God's word in bad times and in good times. We need to take God's medicine daily as if our lives depended on it, because it does. You know, it's interesting because years ago when 9/11 happened, a lot of my friends that were pastors were saying, oh yeah, man, we're really seriously seeing an uptick. We're seeing the churches filled a little bit more. There's more people coming to church because of what happened at 9/11. There's people responding and coming to the Lord because of what has happened at 9/11. And I didn't really see it. I didn't really see the upswing, the uptick. I didn't see a bunch of people coming in and going, oh my goodness, the end is here. I want to make sure I'm right with God. I didn't really see that. But they were sharing with me, and I'm glad that people come to Jesus, even in moments of great tragedy, people come to Jesus. But really, the bottom line is we need to be people that are always seeking the things of God. I mean, let me ask you, here's a question that I don't know if you've thought about this, but what if you just suddenly got all the money you've been praying about, or all the blessings that you've been praying that God would give you, and that no longer things would be a struggle, and that you'd be able to do so much and all those, would your life change, or would it remain the same? Would you continue to do the same thing, or would your life change? Now, if you say your life would change, then I don't know. What are you thinking then? I mean, yeah, it would change in the fact that you had a bigger checkbook, but aren't you the same person? Wouldn't you be the same person? The only thing that might change is that your generosity might be more, not that you wouldn't, you're not, listen, if you get all the money in the world right now, you're not suddenly going to become generous if you're a stingy person right now. You're going to remain stingy for fear that you're going to lose it. Does that make sense? If you're angry now, you're going to be angry then. Your happiness cannot be in the things that you, that in the substances of the things that are around you. They have to be in your relationship with God and understanding who you are in Christ, and that you have a peace that passes understanding in that area, whether it's good or bad. Whether good things are coming or bad things are coming. The way in which you react towards people today should be exactly the same as it is whether you're wealthy or whether you're poor. Your generosity should be the same whether you're rich or whether you're poor. Your willingness to help others should be the same. You're not going to suddenly do more. I mean, you'll have the ability to do more, but your generosity will be the same, because you do what you can with what you have. I just wonder, it amazes me how we don't depend, we need to depend every day on the humbleness of God's word, on his grace, on his mercy every day, not because we're in a tragedy, but because it's every day. We need to take God's medicine as though it's like a daily vitamin, that if you don't take it, you deteriorate and die. I read a thing, I won't share that, but I thought it was funny. It said, I will share it, I guess. It says, 3 out of 5 people who smoke will die. I guess the other 2 people will become immortal. But we're all going to die. Every one of us is going to die. Every one of us. And it's how we live our lives, whether rich or poor. People are not going to remember too much of whether we were rich or whether we were poor. They're going to remember who we were, hopefully, not what we had. But what we gave into their lives, what we were able to sow into their lives in those moments when they needed someone there, were you there? Those are the things that people are going to try to remember. The scripture tells us how to live, how to stay healed and victorious, just as much as it tells us how to get healed and how to get out of difficulties. The scripture talks about having a consistency in our lives of victory and a consistency of health in our lives, just as much as it talks about how to deliver you from the hand of the enemy and how to set you free from the things that would easily so ensnare you. I was just talking to a guy this week about one of the things I think the church struggles with most is the normal days. The days of just living for Jesus in the normal days. We want the spectacular, or we're in a tragedy. We know how to react in those 2 things, but the normal days, what are you going to do every day? Every day should be the same consistent element of nutrition towards the Word of God. You should be eating and digesting and doing the same thing every day. Listen, I don't know if we consciously, at least I know I don't, consciously think about the foods that I'm eating every day. Okay, I probably should be a little more aware of the foods that I'm eating every day. Okay, but I'm not. But I know this, when I get up in the morning, I'm hungry. And I gotta go get something to eat. And sometimes it's better than other times. But I am hungry and I try to find something to eat. It depends how much money I have too. I'm telling you, one of my favorite things to do is find great dollar menus. I love the dollar menu. My body may not like it in 20 years from now, but I like the dollar menu because it fits my pocketbook. But every day I look to find something to eat, don't I? Unless you're not eating for the day. And I really find that to be very uncomfortable. I like to eat. Can you tell? I do. I enjoy eating. I think eating is good. Now, I think fasting is good too, but I'm not going to do that every day. You know, if I was to fast every day for the next like 120 days, I'd probably die. So eventually I'm going to eat again. But I don't know why we go 120 days without reading God's word on our own and think we're going to survive. Do we get up every day and are we just as hungry for the things of God as we are to get down to McDonald's and get our sausage McMuffin in it with egg and our cup of coffee? Are we just as hungry before we head out to Starbucks, you know, to get our coffee and our little Danish or whatever, and we race down to Starbucks to get our stuff? Are we just as hungry and thirsty for the Word of God each day as we get up? Because I know we would not pass Starbucks in the morning if it was possible. I mean, we find that place. Well, first I remember someone told me the other day, yeah, I'm kind of weird and out of it and kind of groggy until I get my first cup of coffee. That person would no more go the day without a cup of coffee than any other. I mean, every day you get up and you make yourself a cup of coffee. But do you every day get up and are you just as, could you get out of the house without studying the Word of God, without craving the Word of God, without wanting it so much in your life that you just couldn't get out of the house without it? Because there's many, many people in this country that can't get out of their house without their first cup of coffee. And I'm just trying to draw a parallel because we need to make sure that we're doing that we're focusing our attention on that. Number four is to keep God's word in your heart. We won't work. The word won't work for us if we only have it in our heads. If it's only up here, it won't work. We have to get it down here into our hearts. It has to become part of the passion of our life, the desire of our life, the driving force in our lives. We have to continue to nourish it and build it up. When God's word is in our heart, we can walk into God's kitchen, so to speak, and open the pantry door and make a healing sandwich and eat the bread of healing. See, when you're in the Word of God, and the first thing you do when you get up in the morning is you go out and you go into the kitchen of God and you open up the refrigerator and you begin to make yourself your breakfast from the Word of God. And then when it's lunchtime, you find some time to get aside and get away so that you can once again open the box lunch that you packed in the morning and find your little lunch sandwich from the Word of God. And then when you get home at night before you go to bed, the last thing you do is you eat that little snack before you go to bed. Now listen, there are no side effects. There are no evil side effects that will happen to you if you eat a snack of Jesus before you go to bed. Unlike that little snack you got to get just before you, it'll just sit in there and stir. And especially if it's pizza, you'll dream crazy dreams. Snacking on the Word of God, eating the Word of God will never be harmful to you. We as children of God do not have to beg for Him, please heal me, please help me, please do. We simply take that what rightfully belongs to us. Listen, Pam has been living in my house for 2 years, okay? We love this guy. We love him. Sorry to pick on you, Bama. You don't even know what I'm going to say. We love this guy. This guy has free reign in our house to do whatever, just like he's one of our kids, okay? And believe me, I believe he feels like one of our kids, okay? He comes in when he gets home from school and he walks in the kitchen and he opens the fridge and he knows that whatever's in there is his. Unless it says mom on it. Yeah. Well, no one pays attention to when it says Lisa. We open the cupboard door. He opens the cupboard and sees what's in there. He opens the freezer and he knows whatever's in there, it's his. If he's hungry, he can fix something and eat it. Because it's rightfully his, because he is a part of our family, and what food is in our house is open to the family members of our house. Anyone that's living there, all of our food is open to them. They can eat whatever they want. They know that. Now, for most of us, we wouldn't just walk into a perfect stranger's house, open the fridge, and think anything is ours. But when we get to our fridge and we open ours, we know everything's ours. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. Is the Word of God is so strange to you that it's like going into a stranger's house and opening the fridge and not wanting to eat anything that's inside because God is such a stranger to you? Or is it your fridge? Do you know the Word of God like it's your very own? That the Father in heaven is your Father and that Jesus is your Savior and that you know that when you go to the Word of God and you open the fridge of the Word of God, that everything that's in there is yours. and that you can make any kind of sandwich you need. You can fill yourself to overflowing. Do we know this? Because this is something that we have to know. It has to be in our heart that we know that what is in the fridge of God is ours. And that, that it is open to us to eat whatever's in the house of God to eat. And know that we can, that we don't have to beg for it, that it's ours. Because when we get to that point where we know that the Word of God is ours and what is in it is ours to eat and it is medicine to our body, then Proverbs chapter 4 verse 22 will come to pass in our lives where it says, "For they, God's Word, are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." God's Word is our medicine for our every need in life. But you have to know it's yours. You have to know. You have to have given attention to it. You've had to open your ears to it. You've had to put yourself in a position where you don't let it get away from you. And that you're hungry for the things of God. That you're going out, that you're opening the fridge and you're making sandwiches every day. Just as much as you're hungry every day and need to eat every day, you need to eat the Word of God in your spirit, which should be hungry and thirsty for the things of God. And you should want those things in your life and to press those things in and eat and eat and eat of the Word of God. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for your Word. We thank you that it is edible and that it is good. And that as we eat it, it will nourish our bodies and heal our bodies. And it will heal our minds and our spirits. And we'll become stronger and stronger in you. Father, I just give you praise. I give you glory for your Word. Your Word needs to be the thing that I crave every day, that I thirst after, that I hunger for. Every day I must get up and be, and rather than be physically hungry, I must be spiritually hungry. And I must fulfill that need on a regular basis. Lord, I just give you praise. I give you glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you'd slip your hand up, we'll pray with you. We don't want to miss an opportunity. If you've drifted from your relationship with Him, and you need prayer, just slip your hand up. We'd be happy to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Lord, I just pray for everyone in this place. Touch and minister to them, O God. Let your Word be just that great feast every day for them. That they would eat and begin to build up their spirit man and not work and take care of their fleshly man, but it means very little if the spirit man is not strong enough to fight the fight. And God, I pray that their spirit would become stronger and stronger by the eating and the nourishment of your Word. God, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.